Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hear me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ramalama ding dong, rock and roll is king.
We all want to get back to playing baseball. One, we love it. It's our passion. It's also our job, but it is our passion. But I think we need to do it in a way, and I'm comfortable that Major League Baseball, the powers that be, understand this. When it works for other people, when it doesn't take away from other people. I mean, the hope for me would be that when baseball comes back, it can almost be a celebration. But it's got to be at a point where the rest of the country, like I said, you're never taking away from, you know, we have people like first responders and nurses and doctors that they're going through a heck of a lot right now. I mean, our country's getting tested like it hasn't in a long time. So I guess my point is when you see baseball, that means that there is some sense of normalcy coming back, which will be a really great sign for everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are broadcasting from our various homes. 617-779-0985. You know, I was feeling kind of low yesterday. I was, you know, with the rain, and I guess it's rained 18 out of 26 days or something like that. And then our neighbors to the south had a little news that I found very exciting. The very progressive Rhode Island on May 9th is starting the process to get back. So what they're doing is that they're going to open some beaches. They're going to allow for al fresco dining. And it's a phase one of a comeback. So that was very exciting to me. Very exciting.
You could take it one way or the other. It could either be exciting or it could be scary.
Well,
depends on where they are at the time.
I'm excited. I like to spend time in Rhode Island. We'll see what happens with that. But I'll tell you this, is that it was like a gift from God yesterday. It was almost like prayers were answered for the first time in a long time. I said, oh, my goodness gracious, here we go. Now we're cooking with gas. So that was what my thinking was. So I went to bed with a positive feeling yesterday for the first time in a long time. Very exciting news. Very exciting. Because Mass General came out with something yesterday, and they suggested that they extend this thing to July 10th.
Yeah, the Mass General simulator that they came up with, that if the restrictions are – it's like you can – you can actually go onto this website and you can adjust what level of restrictions are in place. Like if the restrictions stay the way that they are through August, it would level the death count, which I think is around like 5,000, would just stay where it is. But they said that if you had a full release, it would go up to 45,000 deaths by the time August comes around. So they're trying to see. The government's using that right now, and they're trying to figure out like how much of a release are they going to be able to do? Like, how long do you wait to open up all of the businesses? But, I mean, that's quite a swing in number between 5,000 kind of where you are now, and 45,000 if you just completely open up the floodgates.
It's funny, though, because there's a million models out there that say different things. So,
well, this is the most recent one, and this has got like MIT, Georgia Tech, MGH. I think this is kind of being looked at as the most comprehensive so far, and you can do it for most of the states, but obviously the one that right now is around here getting the most press is the Massachusetts one, and that's the swing, is that, you know, if you just stay the course, you're at 5,000. This is just till August. And what it doesn't say, or maybe it does, but I just have not seen it yet, is if you stay the course, does that mean that the, you know, until August that the virus has, you know, essentially not gone away, but is negligible? If you do stay the course for that time, I know the death rate doesn't go up, but is it still going to be there once they release, you know, once they release the people, you know what I mean? That's the one thing that has not been, and they still don't even know whether you can whether you have immunity from this if you get it. I mean, there hasn't been enough time that's passed to find out whether or not you can catch it twice. So that's the other thing. It's still out there. I mean, really the only thing that's going to fix all this is just getting the tests and getting, like, there being mass tests. And I watched, you know, I try to watch, you know, I don't want to get an overload with these press conferences that seem to happen every day now. But yesterday they were talking about how they're going to roll out a new plan for tests. And it sounds like at least, like, CVS apparently is going to have like 1,000 testing sites set up across the country next month. There's going to be like at-home tests. Once again, I don't know when this is going to happen, because almost 2 months ago we were told that anyone who wanted to get a test could get a test. We don't know how realistic this is, but at least,
right.
But at least they're like, you know, it sounds like they're trying to continue to have a plan to have these at-home tests. And that really is, that's everything. Like, once you get that, then you can truly start talking about effectively opening things up. There was a crazy article yesterday. A guy who works for Yahoo lives down in Georgia, where they opened up everything, and he wrote about going to a Waffle House for the first time.
Yes,
did you? It's
I did.
It's unbelievably creepy right now. He said there's some seats that were lined up 6 feet apart from each other outside of the restaurant before you went in case there was a line. And he said, mm-hmm. But no worry there. He was the only guy eating there for the 45 minutes or so that he went to the restaurant. So when you walk in, some of the seats have these placards on them to where you can't sit there because they're trying to space you out as much. There's no condiments on the table. You have to request them. They'll bring them out to you. Every one of the chefs, the servers, anyone who works there, they're all wearing masks and gloves. And he says it's like, I mean, they are wiping down everything with sanitizer. All of the menus are disposable. So that way you're not going to be touching the same menu somebody else does. As soon as you got it, they throw it away. And he said he sat there in almost silence for 45 minutes eating his waffle by himself, while the four employees just sanitized everything and wore masks as he was chomping on his hash browns.
45 minutes to eat Waffle House? That is a lot of time to, I mean, it takes them about 10 seconds to make the food.
That is true.
45 minutes. I don't think anyone's ever spent 45 minutes in a Waffle House that wasn't on some sort of drug
finishing
an alcohol pit.
I have, but it was usually at 2 in the morning, and I just couldn't leave physically.
Yeah, I mean, I used to eat there at like 6 in the morning. I've seen this thing come up at a Waffle House several times. But, we shall see. You're asking a lot of people to have them wait another 3 months before they go out, before they can adjust to any hint of normalcy. And just mentally, you got to give people a light at the end of the tunnel. And there's many factors to weigh in. So we'll see what they decide to do. We will see. Imagine if they go, we're not opening up school next year.
I don't know if they will. I'm not trying to be a Mr. Doomsday, but I mean, everything I'm reading right now is that they're probably not going to be ready to do it. Is that everyone seems to be targeting the beginning of next year as being when it's going to, when we're going to feel not 100% safe, but pretty damn close to it. Because it's almost already May, and, you know, a lot of people can't even get out of the house now. So think about that. I mean, you're only 4 months away from school starting back up. I mean, you think they're going to be ready to send your kids out there en masse, you know, together? You think you're going to be ready to go to a concert? You think you're going to be ready?
No, I don't think you're going to be ready to go to a concert. I think they're going to open up schools.
Well, I mean, to have like, you know, 30, I mean, how many kids are hundreds of kids in a school congregated together? I mean, that's a pretty big crowd.
Several factors to take into consideration. There's obviously the economy. Then there's people's mental well-being. I was reading stories that people get like PTSD and stuff after this crap.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you're asking an awful lot of people, and people aren't going to do it. I mean, yeah, I guess you can force them not to open up schools. But, I mean, if you ask people during the summer for the next 3 months to continue this after 7 weeks already and people chomping at the bit. I mean, it's I don't know if you can do that to people psychologically.
Well, the colleges are already planning to not have schools. They're already planning for virtual classes. Like, so, I mean, think of it that way. If the colleges aren't
living there, you're living there, and you're living in it, and people are living in dorms and they're living in close quarters. I mean, it's a different situation. They might have to do different things with schools. They might have to, you know, keep teachers that are. Teachers that are susceptible to this kind of thing away, but I don't know. It you're asking an awful lot of people, and there's a lot of factors that become involved in this, and you do have to get reelected at some point. All right, Rich, what is going on? What are we going to discuss that is non-corona related?
Oh, well, let's talk about a real grinder ends up leaving the Patriots. And Bill Belichick gets another chance to write a glowing going away letter to this said person.
All right, we will be right back.
I'm the Sports Hub. Toucher and
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Sports Hub. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recap me what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Belichick just lost him a grinder yesterday.
First and goal to go from the two. Out of the eye. Michelle, the tail of the tandem behind Devlin. Brady turns, gives it to Devlin. Up the middle. Yeah. A dive to the end zone. James Devlin times two. Touchdown, Patriots. His second of the day.
It's great to see a quarterback in his 19th year not become complacent and jog to the sideline like he's been there before because it's so ho-hum. He realizes it's December football. You got a good team in. Your fullback just scored a second touchdown of the night. And you go and you find your center and you headbutt him.
James Devlin, the underappreciated lunch pail guy with the neck roll. He is retiring. Yesterday, he released a statement saying in part, quote, "Honestly, in my 25 years of playing the game of football, I never once thought this day would come. Due to the unforeseen complications with the injury that ended my season last year, I have decided it is both in my and my family's best interest to retire from the game of football. I has always maintained a belief that in the sport, the team is much more important than myself as an individual, and that belief still rings true as I have to prioritize my team at home before anything else. I'm incredibly proud of my journey within the sport and will forever be indebted to the game that gave me so much." So Devlin, 31 years old, I guess there seemed to confirm that his injury at the beginning of last season is what ended his career. He was only able to play for those two games last season before being placed in IR. He missed the entire 2015 season after he broke his tibia in a preseason game. But the guy was here for 8 years. It's weird. I was like, how long was he here? It was a long damn time to be on any one team. He retires with 3 Super Bowl rings, a Pro Bowl, and 1 massive fan in Bill Belichick, which is apparent by the glowing statement that he released yesterday, saying, quote, "To some people, James Devlin may be unsung," in quotes, "in terms of publicity and fame, but to his coaches and teammates, he is one of the most appreciated and respected players that we have ever had. Football, there are a lot of tough, unselfish, and dependable people who bring positive leadership on a daily basis, but the name James Devlin represents those qualities at an elite level. Any team would be fortunate to have a James Devlin type on its roster, but the reality is that he is a rarity, and we are very fortunate."
Wow, usually he gushes about punters like this. Well, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a coach's wet dream.
I've heard that about him too. Like, wasn't Belichick like always fawning about this guy? Like, he's he's the grinder.
Yeah, Devlin is exactly what coaches could give or take. You know, a star quarterback really in their coaches like Belichick that are old school. I mean, having a guy go out there with a neck roll that's unselfish and throws his body around, I mean, that is every coach at any level. That is like the guy that they're like, oh yeah, that's football. That's the guy I want. And Devlin's a loss. I mean, Devlin was very, very important to this team.
Big plays, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was responsible for a lot of big plays.
Think about it. They lost him and they drafted an H-back. They drafted an H-back specifically to block for Michelle at times. So,
yeah,
I mean,
so
they needed him last year. Yep.
Yeah, he's a big loss. I mean, if you look at the highlight reel on the guy, I mean, it's not Barry Sanders or anything, but when you look at the highlight reel, he was on the field for a lot of very important plays in this team's history.
He took a lot of abuse, too. I mean, you could definitely see that. Well
he's
goodbye,
a
King of
battering ram. I mean, that's every time you're in, it's contact, and contact at a very high speed. So, Devlin, I could have predicted from a 5 miles away that Belichick was going to put something in there about how just absolutely incredible James Devlin is. I'm surprised he didn't do it for Ebner.
That's a good point.
Lacrosse guy.
Ebner needed a little more time. That's right.
No, Ebner was rugby.
Oh, that's right, rugby.
Hogan was lacrosse,
that's right.
Hogs, yep. Mm-hmm. He loves those lacrosse guys. Lax Bros. Well, goodbye, King of the Grinders. You will be missed. So in the last 48 hours, you've essentially replaced the quintessential locker room guy with someone who, according to some, has made some unfortunate tattoo choices. Newly drafted Patriots kicker Justin Rohrwasser. We've been talking about him. He almost immediately got called out for having a tattoo of a symbol representing the Three Percenters, a far-right militia group that has had some questionable history, but there are some who are branding him a white supremacist because of his tattoo. Now, Rohrwasser has already said he had no idea the connotation of what the tattoo represented and said he got it when he was a teenager. He did an interview yesterday with Steve Burton last night where he became visibly shaken when the topic arose.
We were celebrating and, you know, hugging and so happy. I went on to Twitter. I saw the tweet. And I saw that someone had taken a picture of me and put it with, you know, my tattoo and linking me to some horrific events, you know, obviously Charlottesville and these horrible things.
Why is this just coming up now? I mean, did this come up at all when you were at Marshall?
No, never. It was the first time I found out what it was linked to was on Saturday. That's why it was so surprising.
When did you get the tattoo, Justin?
When I was 18, I got it. And it is described to me as the percentage of colonists that rose up against the authoritarian government of the British. And I was like, wow, that's such a, you know, American sentiment, a patriotic sentiment. Coming from a military family, I thought that really spoke to me. And I always was proud to be an American. I'm very proud.
The other day, you told the media that you would want to cover it up. Now, as I understand it, you're taking it one step further, aren't you?
As soon as I saw what it was linked to on Saturday, at exactly that time, I knew I had to get it totally taken off my body. I said covered up, but I want to get it removed from my body. It's shameful that I had it on there ignorantly. It's just I'm sorry for all my family that have to defend me. It just putting them in that compromising position is one of the biggest regrets I'll ever have. So to them, I'm sorry, and I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to take ownership of it, and no matter what, that's not who I am, and hopefully you'll all find that out.
Now, the end of the video got a little gurgled at them, but you could tell he was getting somewhat choked up. Now, I did a little bit of digging on this yesterday, and listen, this guy, he may be a nut. First of all, the three percenters did provide security for the Charlottesville March in 2017. However, they did denounce the white nationalist group that were there. Also, this guy, Rohrhauser himself, liked tweets by some well-known conspiracy theorists who I won't name, ones that are very famous, who have mocked school shootings, and also they dabble in conspiracy theories about the coronavirus, downplaying its seriousness and how it's all like this, you know, big scheme. But it's one thing to be a dumb teenager getting that, and another thing to all of a sudden be labeled a white supremacist. And it sounds like here he's, you know, truly shaken up by the entire thing. Lesson learned, don't get a tattoo in your teens. I think we kind of all came to that conclusion yesterday.
He was in college when he got it.
He was 18. He had just gotten into college.
Yeah, I mean, he's an adult. I mean, he was an adult when he got the tattoo. I mean, I don't know if he's white supremacist or not. The only thing is that, I mean, what kind of idiot gets a tattoo without doing any kind of research? Like, what, you just saw it? And then you're like, oh, I'm going to put this on my body forever. I mean, just, you know, take a couple minutes. I mean, get a wizard holding a globe. You know, cool. Peruse.
Well, also the you
keep
know what,
on this trucking.
And once again, I'm not defending this guy because he could be a nut. But sometimes the meaning of things like change over time. I mean, as you said here, you know, when I guess they became associated with being white supremacists was when Charlottesville happened, and he said that these people were hired to do security, and you know we all know that there's like a bunch of, you know, whatever, there's gun nuts and then there's white supremacists, but they were hired to do security, and then when the white supremacists became all part of it, it made them into a different light. It's almost like the only thing I'll compare it to is that growing up, like when I lived in the South, if you had like the Confederate flag, like if you put like a Confederate flag thing on the front of your car, believe it or not, that just meant you loved the South, like you were proud of living in the South. And then as time went by, you started to realize, okay, well, this also was a flag that meant that you were pro-slavery.
You were old enough to have a car, and you were unaware of the connotations of the Confederate flag?
Yep. Fred, believe it or not, back in the day, that was something
excuse.
That was just thought as that you love the South. There was
isn't aware of the Civil War by the time that they're of an age that they can get a car?
It's different, Fred. It's like when think of Leonard Skinner. They had like Confederate flags all over the place, and it was all about loving the South. It wasn't that we hate black people. It was a connotation that as time went on. And then, you know, the whole, do you remember, like, I guess it was probably around the mid... When did Malcolm X come out?
Oh, I don't know.
When did the movie Malcolm X come out?
And
X became a big thing. And when that happened, when you kind of got the first connotation, you know, as someone growing up in the South, that this is more about... You know, maybe not. This isn't like all in the up and up.
92
is when, yeah, people were wearing shirts that said, like, I remember seeing this at school. And I think about it, people would wear this shirt to school, and it said, "You wear your ex, I'll wear mine," and it had a Confederate flag on it. Yeah, like that's when you're like, okay, well, maybe this isn't quite what we thought. Well, but growing up as a kid, the Confederate flag was everywhere. Like there would be like these big. Southern block parties that they would have, and there would be people of all races there, and it would have like the stars and bars. It meant Dixie. It meant the South.
People were unaware that it meant the South that fought in the Civil War, and for partially because of slavery.
No, obviously you live in the South and you know that they fought for slavery, but the flag at the time wasn't something you looked at and said, this represents pro-slavery. What it represented was that it was, it was on the state flag. People grew up like, okay, this means Georgia. This means you love your state.
By the time you're 16, that's first of all, who at 16 loves their state? And second of all,
no, I'm just talking about as a general perception of people who lived in the South.
Well, then generally people in the South were idiots.
Yeah, that could be the case. Yeah,
no, the case. I highly doubt that people didn't know that there was a perception of racism tagged to the Confederate flag. Especially at 16. I mean,
it was the state flag too. That's why it was.
I know it was on the state
and like kick-ass Southern rock. Like there was like a big Confederate flag. It doesn't mean they like slavery. Like Leonard Skinner isn't pro-slavery, and they've got Confederate flags over everything. That was just
there about the South. You don't know if Leonard Skinner is racist or not?
I said they're not pro-slavery.
No, no, but it could still be.
And actually, I don't
racist.
Know. No, I mean, are they? Are they racist? I don't think.
I mean, I would guess coming from Jacksonville at that time, more likely than not, that they were not the most free-thinking people.
See, now you're doing to them what people are doing to this guy. You're immediately tying one thing into being a racist. And that's not fair.
I'm saying that you have to know that there's racist connotations to the Confederate flag.
As
that
I said,
is fair.
If it was
I don't know anything
flag
about the three percentage, three percenters. I think the Confederate flag is a horrible example because it's just, I mean, you learn about that in elementary school. The three percenters, I don't know, and he probably didn't know. If he's a white supremacist, I don't care. I mean, I don't have
well,
any
I would
idea
care
if he's
if I was
not.
A patriot. I mean, if he was
well,
a
I would too if I was a patriot. But
I don't think I want a white supremacist on
no,
my team.
No, I don't think I would either. But I mean, I don't know if he is or not, and there's no way to prove if he is. And so there you go. I mean, what am I going to do for that kid? But the Confederate flag is the Confederate flag. I mean, you know it. I mean, I think that with the Confederate flag, there's a certain amount of FU.
It's well,
like,
it's,
you don't no. You don't like it, Yankee. So here it is in your
yes,
face.
Yankee.
Yeah, and
sure,
you don't
sure.
Like it,
but that was Southern pride.
Like it, yeah, but you don't like it because it's connotations to racism. People didn't in the North didn't dislike the Confederate flag because they disliked people well, from the South.
You it just said it. That was the connotation when I was growing up. It was screw you, Yankee. It wasn't
yeah,
screw
you,
blacks.
Yankee. I'm going to screw you, Yankee. I'm going to put this up even though you know it's about racism. I mean that's what it was. It's like if you
Fred,
don't like
I'm
it,
just
go
telling
down.
You when I lived there that was what it was known as. It was more of a screw you North. Screw you Yankees, don't
yeah,
come down
you
here
Yankees
and eat our,
because yeah,
eat
because
our good
you wanna,
food and you know that
no,
kind
no, no,
of stuff.
No. Screw you Yankees, you want us to take down this flag and we won't, despite its connotations. I mean that's really what this I lived down there.
Well, Fred, you didn't live down there when I was saying people. By the time you lived there, dude, that was like the 2000s. That's when, of course,
no,
there was
I
all
moved
the
there, I moved there in 98. I mean,
okay. Then there
I
you
mean,
go,
you
Fred.
Graduated
I mean,
from school in 94. I moved there 4 years after you got out of school.
Dude, I lived there in the 80s.
So, yeah, okay, so what? I mean, you're talking about when you were in school.
Yes, when I was
put
in
on
school.
Their cars. So in 1994, kids put on their cars. I moved there in 1998. There was this great evolution to that point.
Yeah, because that was right around the time the Malcolm X stuff came out, yes, in high school.
And it took the Malcolm X stuff for people to go, oh.
That was the first time I noticed that it was being used as something other than, and that wasn't by everybody, and it was still down there. It was like when you talked about it being the South, and Fred, it's weird, but I'm just telling you, I lived through it. And there were very good people who weren't racist. And matter of fact, there were big like community parties and stuff. It was just about loving the South and,
but you've
and making
said
good
often,
food.
You've said often that Kennesaw is a completely racist place, or was when you were growing up.
Oh, there's a difference between being anywhere in the South and it being like Dixie Diner and it being about having Southern biscuits and things like that, and being in a store that sells Klan robes.
No, no, no.
That's
but
two
you
completely
said when you
different
you
things.
Said when you first moved to Kennesaw that there was a Klan rally.
There was. But that yeah. wasn't. But that wasn't the same thing. Yeah, of course the South has racist stuff. But all over the South, there were normal people who weren't racists who like when they looked at the because it was the state flag, they thought of that as being this represents the South and like you know screw you.
So
Yankees.
They were idiots.
Yeah, I mean sure. I mean that could be the case, but that was just
good.
That's widely accepted down South. It just happened to be that way. And so if you took a picture of a guy who let's say lived in the South in the 80s. And had a, or even like the 90s, and there was like a Confederate flag behind him, like you wouldn't, like, and now you'd go, oh, look at this racist. He obviously, like, is pro-slavery, but that wasn't the case. It was just something that was everywhere, and it meant we're from the South. And the meaning has changed a little bit over the past 20 years.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I lived there, and that's
I know,
that's
but
the connotation.
I think that you can have a different opinion. I mean, I think people could have looked at it different ways. I think that maybe you have that opinion, but I think that if you ask most of those people that had were sporting Confederate flags, they weren't the biggest fans of black people. I'm just throwing it out there. In Kennesaw, Georgia, I'm guessing that a good 90% of the population's not the biggest fan of black people. So, I mean, I lived there too, and it's not like it was super progressive in terms of race relations when I was there. But regardless, there you go. The kid's going to get it removed, and then everyone will forget about it. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Well, the NBA and the NFL, once again, tweaking their plans for return in the NBA, a very strange behind-the-scenes argument going on between GMs, owners, and players regarding when they can actually go back to facilities.
All right. We will have that for you here, the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what else is going on in the world of sports? The NBA has, it's funny, these sports desperately want to get back at it, and the NBA is having some conversations and arguments about it.
They're the most proactive of all the leagues. I think we can all agree. Like the NHL, you don't really know what's going on. There's kind of these far-fetched ideas about there being neutral locations, and, you know, is that happening? But nobody's really saying anything. At least in the NBA, you know, you've got the commissioner and even like reporters talking to GMs, and it sounds like they're truly trying to get things moving. And the NBA kind of dipped their toe in the water just the other day and then had to pull it back out. So originally, they had been discussing opening up some of the workout facilities as early as this Friday because there are some cities that have already opened up. Matter of fact, Georgia being one of them, the Atlanta Hawks facility was, you know, one that was being considered that the players could actually go and start working out. And then all of a sudden, as to be expected, there were problems amongst the owners and the players as well. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski.
First of all, teams were surprised that the league was going to move this quickly to open up facilities starting Friday. None of them knew about this over the weekend. There was a small group of owners that this information was shared with. We got wind of it. We reported it before many teams were aware that this was going to happen this soon. And I think the question, Scott, for a lot of them is why? What is our reasoning for opening up facilities in Georgia, in Florida? Just because those governors decided to do that. One GM said to me tonight, if we need a 15-page memo from the league to get one guy in and out of our building just so we can take shots, get shots up, like maybe the timing's not right.
Oh, I mean, and this 16-page memo was ridiculous. It had the rules that these players had to abide by in order to work out at these facilities. Amongst those rules, only four players in a facility at one time, having only one staff member supervising. No coaches were allowed to be at the workouts of the players. A distance of 12 feet had to be kept among the individuals on the court. There was a three-page rigorous sanitation regimen that they had to go through, including balls, the floors, any kind of equipment. It seemed like the biggest pain in the ass just to get somebody in the front door, and he's exactly right. At one point you say, if we have to have 16 pages worth of rules in order to get somebody to work out, maybe we're doing this a little too early.
Yeah. So the best was the Atlanta Hawks, after hearing about all this, said, we're not opening our facility Friday. That's insane. We're not going to do that at all.
Right. Of all the teams, they said, and apparently they had been receiving calls from other players and other teams wanting to know if they could travel to Atlanta and they could all use this Atlanta facility since, once again, they had been opened up. And I know that there's talk. I think Thursday is when the state of Texas, I think the governor of Texas, said they wanted to do something. And Mark Cuban's like, hell no, we're not going to open up a facility right now. Are you out of your mind? Have you seen the numbers? So the one good thing about the NBA is that they are being unbelievably flexible right now. Like, at first, there was going to be a date of Labor Day that had to all be over with, but Adrian Wojnarowski talked about how even that is movable right now.
You know, I had reported back, and I lose track of time, maybe 3 weeks ago, it could have been 3 years
who the
ago,
hell knows?
that the league wanted to have the finals wrapped up ideally by Labor Day weekend. They are more willing than ever to delay the start of next season. And part of that reason is that might give them more time next year to be able to have fans in the building. But next season, the fear of having to start the year in empty arenas, and if they were going to start at their normal time, mid-late October, it's hard to imagine that there would be fans in the stands. And so I think as much time as they can buy for themselves, I think the league is willing to do that right now. And they're trying to look at everything. And this isn't just a let's figure out the next couple months in this season. This is over. This is a 2-3-4 year look moving forward.
This sounds to me almost as if they're buying into what college football is talking about. And I don't think that's the worst idea. Try to get these playoffs in at some point with no fans, but then maybe you wait to start the season until the beginning of next year where
Christmas
you
Day. That's what we talked
Day.
About. Christmas
yeah.
Day,
which
you have thought like – like last year, they had five games on Christmas Day. That was pretty cool. Can you imagine opening up the season with five games on Christmas Day? That'd be great.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. And if that by that point you could actually get butts in seats, you know, think about a perfect way to start the season. And that would also give them time to move the playoffs back until you can do it safely. And I also think that by the time some sort of semblance of a school year would start, there's probably going to be a little better of an idea of how to safely have small gatherings of people, like one that would be a basketball game with no fans. So if you were able to pull off the playoffs there, and then, as you said, John, launch things on Christmas Day and maybe move the playoffs further into the summer next year. It doesn't have to be an entire season. Maybe you take a month of games away, but you move it farther back into the summer. I think that's a great plan, and I think that's something the NFL, NBA, I'm glad, has moved on. They budged a little bit, which I like.
I think they should do that every year. I mean, this could be one of those things where the NBA watches the kind of reaction they get playing basketball December to June with fewer off days and go, you know what, let's keep it this way. I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad plan. And if you take a look, too, at the NFL – they're once again trying to figure out some sort of contingency. And the Sports Business Journal came out with an article yesterday where they interviewed some of the people behind the scenes, obviously some of the GMs, and they said that there are different scenarios that they're discussing right now. In one version, the start of the season could be delayed by up to 5 weeks, and they wouldn't have to make that many of adjustments. Like, the scenario would have the Super Bowl right now currently set for February 7th in Tampa pushed back 3 weeks. Now, if that happens, it could obviously compete with other big events that, you know, typically try to avoid Super Bowl Sunday, but you'd have 2 weeks of early season games that could be shifted to the end of the season. A third week could feature teams playing only opponents with the same bye week, so that week could be cut and you could have your byes eliminated league-wide. I'm sure the players are going to be thrilled about that,
yeah.
But at least they'll be getting paid, you know, because a lot of these guys don't get paid if they don't play games. Also, there was another plan that included cutting the weekend between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, where the Pro Bowl is typically played, and they throw that in the trash, which I wouldn't have any kind of problem with. No one's crying that there would be no Pro Bowl, except for the players who get bonuses, of course. I'm sure that they would still vote people onto the Pro Bowl, but they just wouldn't play it. There have also been conversations about if Tampa, you maybe delaying the Super Bowl by 1 week to February 14th, but they are saying that apparently Tampa is open to moving it all throughout the entire month. So it can go all the way to the back. Because Tampa's
please.
Just like, give us anything.
Please, come to our city. We don't care when you show up. Just come on down.
Yeah. So none of the plans are finalized, obviously, because we still don't know what's going to happen, but they're obviously considering their contingency plans. The NFL, I think more than likely, isn't going to have a majority of the games with crowds in the stands. And maybe the Super Bowl is the first game that they have with a crowd. That would be fairly interesting way to do things.
Oh, man.
I mean, you want to talk about making like that the highest-rated Super Bowl of all time. That would be a fairly interesting way of doing it. But how funny would it be if you had a Super Bowl and nobody showed up because everyone was scared to go?
That's the I don't know. I think by February, people are going to be taking some chances. Not that I say they should, but I think that there are going to be people that are willing to take some chances. So, I mean, that's a long time from now. February is a long time from now, so we'll see how people are feeling at that point. So, yeah. So much is unknown. So much is unknown. We shall see. But, yeah, the NBA starting on Christmas Day, I think that they probably want to do that anyway. I think that if they had their druthers, I think when they look at the landscape right now, that no one really gets into the season until...
Yeah, why schedule games around when the NFL is playing? You start later, NFL heads into playoffs in January, and you have freedom to schedule games whenever you want. Right. Made it just, you're not getting your brains beat in by the NFL game, which is going on at the same time you're playing.
You also could have the desired by the players warm-up time before the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, if you can make that be a nice chunk of time if they are going to do these playoffs. Because remember, the worry was at first, you got to get this done by Labor Day. It has to be done. We've got to rush it. But if you end up putting this thing into, you know, October or like the end of September, you can give them those 2 weeks that they wanted to be able to warm up and play a game or two in order to start the playoffs. If they know that they're going to be able to rest until essentially Christmas Day before any real games.
All right, Rich, we'll have a quick one before headlines. So what are we going to talk about?
David Krejci talks about what it's like trying to keep in shape when you can't skate.
All right, we will hear all about that in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Top.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich David Krejci was interviewed from wherever the hell he is. And, he's talking about how difficult it is for a hockey player to try to keep it going during a stay-at-home situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, the NHL not quite as forward with their plans as the NBA is, and maybe they're just kind of waiting for the NBA to take the lead. Hell, the NBA took the lead on canceling their season first. So I think that a lot of people, I mean, you got to give the NBA credit. They're, you know, taking all these chances. They're the ones who've kind of been on the forefront of everything. And right now, there's a lot of players like David Krejci who are in the dark, and they're just trying to figure out what the hell's going to be happening. And one of the things that is being proposed is that these guys would be playing in empty arenas at a neutral location, and it sounds like David Krejci, not a big fan of that.
Not really sure if I'm a fan of, you know, being at like one arena, a bunch of teams. You know, I guess we all want to finish the season, so whatever is going to be the best scenario, the safest place, faces the safest way to finish the season, then I guess that's what we'll have to do. It would be a little more challenging with, you know, with people, with players who has families, kids. So I don't really know how that would work out, but I guess we'll get to that bridge. We'll cross that bridge once we get there.
He also mentioned something that I thought was weird to think of too. Can you imagine winning the Stanley Cup in an empty arena?
I know.
Like,
weird.
Like holding up the Stanley Cup and having like the presentation to your team with no crowd. He was asked about what that moment would be like.
That would be weird because fans are big part of the sport, right? Without the fans, it wouldn't be the way it is now. It wouldn't have the integrity, I guess. But if that's what we're going to have to do, I guess that's what we're going to have to do, right? I'm sure people would watch it on TV. But yeah, it would be a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, if any of you guys watch WrestleMania and the Boneyard match, you could see that it wasn't quite the same without a crowd. I mean,
well, listen, you could zoom it like the commissioner did. You just have a bunch of people on the Jumbotron screaming.
They should do that. Just put it on the Jumbotron,
yeah,
right?
I bet
right,
you
right. Everyone's
do.
Like, yeah!
Yeah!
I bet you anything they do.
You Bruins do? Luchador.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruins Luchador up there. Woo!
I bet you anything they do that. The Boneyard match. But you know what would be cool if they play in front of no crowds is you're going to be able to hear everything they say. So
yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a dumb button that works fast enough. I mean, they're going to be out there. You're going to be able to hear every word that they say. You're going to be able to hear Marchand. It's going to come in clear as day.
It's going to sound like last year's Game 7 of the finals. It was so quiet.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's going to be like. It's going to be like winning the cup in a visiting arena. You know,
yeah.
It will be quiet and you'll go about your business. But this is certainly going to be weird. I mean, if these sports play, I mean, it's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
To see that, and who knows when they're going to be able to have big events like this again.
Well, there was one interesting question he was asked too, Fred, is that, you know, I mean, we're wondering if they don't finish the season, you know, have we seen like the last of Chara? You know, is Torrey Krug not going to be a member of this team after all this is done? So do we see his last game as a Bruin? But, you know, David Krejci, his contract's right around the corner as well, and he was asked about possibly retiring when his contract was up.
Well, my contract expires after next year, right? Whatever happens with this season, but then one more after that. And then we'll see. I mean, I'm not planning on retiring, that's for sure. I wanna play after that. How long or what's going to happen, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens after that next year. But definitely not planning on going into the next season as being it my last.
Well, he's going to have to take a massive – if he's to stay here, he's going to have to take a massive pay cut.
Sure.
I think he's going to have to take a pay cut anywhere he goes. I mean, are you going to pay Krejci over $7 million?
No, you're not. I mean, and especially when you got guys like Krug up and you want to keep DeBrusk. I mean, you got to deal with him around the corner. And don't
well, DeBrusk is an interesting thing because they've got the expansion draft. And
right.
According to a lot of the breakdowns, DeBrusk might be the odd man out.
And don't forget you have Rask after next season, same as Krejci.
Right.
So, I mean, Krejci, if he comes back, he's making 7.25, I think it is.
Yeah.
What do you think? $4 million?
Four million.
At the age of 35, if he wants a multi-year contract, four or less to stay here. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We come back. A listener sent this to us, and it is something that I think could bother a current New England Patriot. We'll be back in just a moment.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.